Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. It lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So we are on the eve of Election Day here in the United States of America. And what do we think is going to happen? What will God give us? And truly, I think we're at a crossroads, really. There have been some very shocking developments, shocking to me, and I'm sure they would be shocking to you as well, about one of the candidates. And being involved in some occult activities, and these are not just rumors. these are not rumors. I had heard, I guess, looking at some things on the internet, and it was a few months ago, but I had heard about Hillary Clinton being involved in witchcraft. And of course, years ago when she was the first lady, now her and Bill have already been to the White House once. Bill Clinton was elected president in the 90s, and he served for 8 years. They had many, many, many scandals during their time there, and he was impeached because he lied. Of course, when they lie under oath, nothing happens to them. Now, if you or I lie under oath, we could go to jail because it's called perjury, but not him. No, not him. So anyway, he was caught having an affair with a young intern, and it was right in the Oval Office that he was having this affair carrying on. But anyway, there was other things. It wasn't only the immorality. There was other things, other scandals, financial scandals that have seemed to follow these people wherever they go. So also, I don't see how any Christian, and I know some Christians voted for Obama. I can't understand how anyone would ever vote for a person that was for abortion. It just doesn't fit. Does your vote count? Let's hope so. Let's hope your vote counts. And that's all I can say. Do certain people put certain people in office? and that's just the way it's going to be. Maybe, maybe. You have the President of the United States coming out, and I'm going to play the audio, but you have him coming out in an interview over the weekend telling an illegal alien that's here, a lady that's here illegally, that she can vote. Now, a few weeks ago, I did a program on lawlessness, and yeah, how can we have a country of laws and we're expected to follow the laws, yet the President of the United States himself doesn't want to follow the laws? He's telling a lady that she can vote. It's okay for illegal aliens to vote. Oh, you know, just when you think you've heard everything, then this comes along. So it's the strangest thing. I probably should play this because you should hear it for yourself. This was an interview that was just conducted. And you'll hear Obama saying it himself. So here it is. I'll play it for you.
Citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful of voting. So if I vote, will immigration know where I live? Will they come for my family and deport us?
Not true. Okay. And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself. And there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, etc. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential.
So, there you go. You heard it yourself. The lady says that she's illegal. She's here illegally. And she wants to know if she votes, are the vote police going to come to her house and deport her? Well, she's not supposed to be here in the first place. So what's wrong with this president? What's wrong with this president? Can't you tell people, look, you're not here legally. You're not supposed to be here in the first place. So if you're not supposed to be here, you have to come like normal people come when they go to a country and they want to be a citizen. They have to come and apply for citizenship, and they have to come here legally. They can't just sneak in the dead of night like some kind of a thief. Or what is going on? Like, you know, they have this... I don't know that much about this man because I haven't really done that much research into this man, Saul Alinsky, who's a favorite of, was a favorite of Obama and a favorite of Hillary's, but supposedly he's a communist, and he dedicated his book to Hitler. To Satan, to Lucifer. So why does anyone want to read a book and follow the teachings of somebody that dedicates their book to Lucifer? Now, this information came out back when Obama was running for president, and that he was a student of Saul Alinsky, and he had gone to this so-called church where some of the things they said, the pastor said from the pulpit, I mean, you know, really, it was very odd. And there was also some sexual scandals that came out, but it didn't seem to deter people from voting for him because the people had already made up their minds, so they weren't going to change their mind. It didn't matter what they did. It's the same thing with Hillary Clinton. People, there was somebody from the internet interviewing people yesterday, women, and they were asking about this WikiLeaks email that was leaked from John Podesta, that was the one-time campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. But he's been around since the days that they were in the White House, the Clintons. So he asked the woman, do you care about them being involved in occult rituals? And the lady said, "No, I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me. I want jobs." And you know, it's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty bad out there when people can actually say, "I don't care if my president is involved in the occult, as long as I can have jobs." I don't get that. So I haven't seen any research, or I haven't seen any evidence in any occult involvement as far as Donald Trump is concerned. Nothing has come out as far as his involvement with these kind of ceremonies and that kind of thing. I don't think Donald Trump is born again. And I know he talks about God, and he associates with evangelicals and some credible ones and some not so credible ones. But as far as him being born again, I don't think so. Also, I can't see how it kind of doesn't go together to me. This is my feeling, that a president can be born again and then be president of the United States, and you have to kill people in wars and different things that you have to do to be a president. So it kind of doesn't fit to me. And I remember the days back in I was in one of the Trump rallies, and I was up right in the front, on the front row. And when he came down and he does his handshaking and his autographing, and I was about 3 feet away from him. And I didn't get the feeling that he was a wicked, evil man. I just, you know, being in his presence, and I didn't get that feeling. I was trying to engage him in conversation, and I didn't get to engage him in any kind of conversation, but I was hoping to make some kind of a connection there, but I wasn't able to that day. But anyway, I also wanted to attend a Hillary Clinton rally just to get a feeling of what goes on there, but I didn't get to go to one of hers. And but that was just my impression of the man being there in the room with him and being close to him. And I did give him a business card, and he took it. He took it from me and put it in his pocket. And I had hoped, like I said, I had hoped to make some kind of connection with him, but it didn't happen. So anyway, I remember that, you know, years ago when we talk about the closing of factories and manufacturing leaving this country. But when I was growing up, and then in the 1950s, where there were many, many factories, the factories were starting to close up back then. Many of the factories were starting to close up. This was in New Jersey. So we have seen manufacturing jobs leave for many, many years. You know, it's nothing new. But going back to this whole witchcraft and occult involvement of Hillary Clinton and her staff, I remember when she was first lady, and she said that, and I think it is on audio, I think you can actually hear her saying it, that she used to talk to Eleanor Roosevelt and communicate with Eleanor Roosevelt when she was there in the White House. Well, somebody wrote a book recently, and you wouldn't believe it. To look at Eleanor Roosevelt, well, you just wouldn't believe the book that was written about her, and supposedly she was having an affair with a woman, and the woman lived in the White House for 8 years while Franklin was president. Eleanor and this woman were living in the White House. Now, you know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And supposedly Franklin had girlfriends on the side. So these people, yikes, what's going on? But so Hillary says that she communicated with dead Eleanor Roosevelt. And then we, of course, we had the so-called Christian president, Ronald Reagan, and his wife. She used to have seances or something there at the White House, and she was consulting astrologers and giving the information to Ronnie, as she called him. So usually when people put that in front of them, well, I'm a Christian, but Jesus said we'll know them by their fruit. So what kind of fruit are they bearing? If they're talking about having seances and they're talking about communicating with the dead, well, then that's not Christian. If they talk about funding Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood was selling aborted baby body parts. They were found out that they were selling these parts after they were giving women abortions. Now, Planned Parenthood is not about women's health. And anyway, I don't want the government funding Planned Parenthood or funding women's health. Take care of your own health. Why do citizens have to pay for somebody's health care? That's ridiculous. Please stop it already. And so they make a big deal. Hillary, she makes a big deal about, they want to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, they should be defunded, especially after they were caught selling aborted baby parts. The Congress and the Senate didn't even have enough courage to defund Planned Parenthood after this came out. No, they wanted the guy that made the undercover video was punished. I think there was charges brought against him for uncovering this news story. Now, according to the Constitution, we have the freedom of press. And so why shouldn't the press be free to report stories, even if you have to go undercover to report stories? So it's odd, really. Isn't it odd that the people that are in the so-called women's health business are actually the number one business that they perform is abortions and or helping people to get abortions and then selling the baby parts? Who should have been prosecuted here? Not the guy that did the undercover video. But that's the kind of twisted world we're living in today. Very, very twisted. Doesn't the Bible say that, though? They'll call good evil and evil good. And we are seeing it. We are seeing it. So the story that came out, and this just came out over the last few days, about this man, John Podesta. And John Podesta, he is a creepy-looking guy, you know, if you look at him. But he's been working with the Clintons for many, many years. He's an attorney. And anyway, in WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks is, they expose government documents that are supposed to be secret. But of course, I'm going to play a clip from a speech by John F. Kennedy back in the 60s where he says that we have to have open government and there shouldn't be any secrets anyway. So there wouldn't be even a necessity for WikiLeaks because government officials are supposed to have their information be made available to the public. And that's what Hillary Clinton was doing when she had this email server at her house while she was Secretary of State, and she wasn't supposed to have a private email server to do government business because her government business was supposed to be public. And when her emails were, Congress asked to see them, and they issued a subpoena, which means you must see them under penalty of punishment. That's breaking a law if you don't let people see something, especially after there's a subpoena. And then if you destroy evidence, then you're really supposed to be in trouble. Well, she destroyed the evidence, her 30, 33,000 emails. They destroyed the evidence, and then they didn't hand it over. But she claims that there was nothing on there anyway. Well, then why did you destroy the evidence? Why did you have a private email server in your house to do government business when we're people that are work for the government? Everything has to be made public. So, but of course, nothing happened to her, and we see the FBI investigation from July after they did the investigation, and they came out and they said they're not going to bring any criminal charges because there was no intent. Well, you know, the average person like you or me, if we committed a crime and we went to court, we told the judge, we didn't know that we were committing a crime. Too bad. Too bad you didn't know, right? Well, no. She knew. Okay, look, she's no dummy. She's an attorney. She was first lady. She was a senator. She was a secretary of state. I mean, she didn't know. Come on. She didn't know what she was doing was illegal. But they think the American people were dopey. Oh, it was dopey American people. So we'll just, here, drink some Kool-Aid and believe what we say. But it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous that they expect people to believe it. But yet, well, maybe there's 40% or so people that, you know, they have that slogan, I'm with her, and they're with her. Why? Give me some reasons why, if you had to pick a candidate, why would you be with a person that blatantly disregards the law, hires people, the DNC hired people to go into Trump rallies and cause riots. Remember when they were having all those riots in the beginning, and the DNC was hiring people. They were paying them $1,500 from a Craigslist ad that was also leaked through WikiLeaks, and they were paying people to go in there and to incite these riots. Well, that's also against the law. Inciting riots is against the law, but no, nothing happened. No, nothing happened. No, nothing happened. Did you ever see anything like this in your life where we have an attorney general, we have a justice department? Did you ever get a look at that building over there in Washington? It's huge. Looks like there's thousands of offices there. Why do we have a justice department? Why? Why do we have an FBI? What for? Not everybody is required to keep the laws. What's the use? Oh, honestly, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense except that we know that we're in the end times. And do I think we need a change in the government? Yes, I'd like to see somebody different. And I'd like to see what someone else could do, maybe. We'll see. We'll see. We'll know in the next day and a half anyway. We'll know who God is going to give us. And we'll see what happens, you know. We'll see what happens. So it'll be interesting. Anyway, if you wanted to get the information about this John Podesta and the WikiLeaks released an email indicating that Tony Podesta, who's John Podesta's brother, they may have attended an occultic, and it's called spirit cooking. I never heard of this before. Dinner by blood possessed performance artist Marina Abramovic. In an email invitation to Tony, Abramovic confirmed his attendance to her dinner and inquired about John's attendance. Spirit cooking. Now, I'm not even going to mention all the things, but this spirit cooking dinner is a dinner where they use human blood, human milk, and other bodily fluids. They're cooked. And then they put honey and oil. Now, I don't know if they're required to supposedly eat this stuff. I don't know. You know, you can go online and you can see the email. It's there. It's not a fraud. It's not a forgery. It is real. And like I said, I had heard some things. I never really did that much investigation, but I had heard some things about Hillary Clinton being involved in these kind of occult things, and I didn't have any evidence at the time, so I didn't really want to run with any kind of reporting on it. But after this came out, I said, well, obviously what some of those people were saying was true, because now there's the evidence of the email that one of her top aides was invited to this occult ritual. Now, also, it was reported that John Podesta has a painting in his house, and you can see the painting. He has a painting in his house of people performing cannibalism. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't have any pictures like that in my house, and I wouldn't want any pictures, paintings like that in my house. To me, the only people that would have these kind of things in their house are people that are into the occult, because who has a painting of a cannibalistic ritual in their house unless you're weird? Now, if I'm running for president, why am I going to have one of my top aides? And of course, I'm sure that they go to each other's houses and they visit each other. I'm sure they know, they talk on the phone, they know each other, they've known each other for years. I'm sure these things are no secret. You know, they're no secret. So, what's going on here? What's going on? It's not good. It's not good. And like I said, you could go yourself and look at these emails, and you can look at the picture, Podesta and his painting that's there. And where do these people come from? You know, where do they come from? And also, you notice that who's the father of lies? So you notice that Hillary Clinton, she lies about everything almost. She just lies. She lied about going, she went to some foreign country, I can't remember exactly right now where it was, and she said that when they exited the airplane, her and her daughter, they were under sniper fire, and she had to duck. Well, there's a video of her exiting the airplane. There was no sniper fire. She was greeted with flowers and handshakes. And now, why would you lie about that? Why would you lie about that? And but to me, sometimes it just seems like it's some kind of a mind control experiment or something, where they just keep lying to you, and eventually they know that if they keep lying, people would just start believing it. And that seems to be what's happening. So I think it's so very, very important for people to, especially in the days that we live in, we better be in God's Word. We better know what God's Word has to say, because I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen the Republican Party doesn't even get behind their candidate. They openly write in another person's name, and they tell you about it. They're in open revolt against the candidate that's been nominated by the people. I never saw anything like that. And what is really going on? What is really going on? But, you know, to me, there is a globalist movement that wants world government. They want open borders. They don't want any kind of borders, a border control, or they want to let anybody in to this country that wants to be here. They want socialism. They want welfare programs, social programs. Well, when these people come here, they don't have anything. So how are they going to live? They have to go on welfare. They have to who's paying for the welfare? Not the government, the taxes. So it's just the thing, the same thing with the health care, with Obamacare. It's only a tax. It's a tax. And every person in this country is required to have it. And if you don't have it, you get a fine. And the deductibles are high. But they didn't give people any choice. It just said, here it is, and you're going to take it, like it or not like it. And it turned out to be a big mess. But like I've said before, it's not anybody's responsibility but yours. If you decide you're going to get married and you're going to have a family, it's your responsibility to take care of your family. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not your auntie's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. But we don't want to have personal responsibility anymore or accountability. We just want to have social programs. And let's have free college, and let's have open borders, and let's have no law and order. Let's just do whatever we want. And so they have this slogan. I know people in the New World Order. They have this slogan called order out of chaos. So they create chaos so then they can create the order. Well, I don't really like their order. I don't really like their order. But there's plenty of scripture. And you can look at the scriptures. The Bible talks about the Antichrist. And let's read a couple of those scriptures. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Revelation 13:16-17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Revelation 3:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Mark 13:6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Matthew 24:26, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. But we know we're in the end times, let me tell you that. We know we're in the end times because this has been the weird of my lifetime, and I'm 67 years old. In my lifetime, I have never seen an election like this. Never. I've never seen these kind of things going on, and the leaking of these emails which have revealed what's going on behind the scenes, especially with the Democratic Party. There was something that they were saying where they had some kind of a deal with Bernie Sanders, which I believe Bernie Sanders was probably just somebody that they put up there to run against Hillary, because they didn't want to put anybody up to run against her. They wanted her. So they put Bernie Sanders up there because they figured nobody, whoever heard of Bernie Sanders, and they didn't figure anybody was really going to go for him anyway. So he was pushing a big socialist agenda, and to me it was like they wanted to see how much people would respond and how people would respond to socialism. Well, they were responding to socialism. He had massive crowds that were coming out to hear his socialist policies, and they were agreeing with it. Well, whoever thought that in the United States of America that we would accept socialism the way we have? No, I don't accept socialism. I don't like socialism. No, I like the idea of people working and getting to keep their money and taking care of their own problems here, and for the government not to intrude into people's lives any more than they have to. Really, we don't need any more social programs. I mean, please stop it already. There's too much socialism as it is, and it's destructive because it takes away personal responsibility. It makes people think that they're entitled, and we see that in the church today. The entitlement. I'm entitled because I come to church here and I pay 10%. So I'm entitled, and God better bless me, or he has to bless me. And it's the same way with the government. We think because we're born here and we live here that we're entitled then to government programs and government subsidies, and we don't really have to work and try to make a better life for ourselves. We'll just let the government take care of us. But that destroys your ambition to make your life better on your own. And from my own experience, I prefer to do things for myself and to try to make the best of my life without having to depend on anyone else. You know, you have to put your faith and trust in God and hope that God will provide. So I want to play a couple more clips. And I have Jackie Alnor did a program the other night on her Scattered Sheep Report on Rapture Ready Radio, which I'm also on that network. And she got this clip, which I had never heard this before, and I was just astonished, really, because I never knew Walter Cronkite was a globalist. And, you know, you think nice little Walter Cronkite, right? Well, when you hear this clip from Walter Cronkite, you won't believe it. Now listen to this.
Is that it also has Hillary Clinton in it, and amidst all the stuff that she's going through right now, it's interesting to hear back some old footage that, in hindsight, is blatantly obvious that this globalist agenda has been going on for years and years and years. Check it out.
Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad as if you're at the right hand of Satan. Let us hear the peal of a new international liberty bell that calls us all to the creation of a system of enforceable world law in which the universal desire for peace can face its hopes and its prayers.
We would like to bring you a message from the First Lady of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Good evening and congratulations, Walter, on receiving the World Federalist Association Global Governance Award. For more than a generation in America, it wasn't the news until Walter Cronkite told us it was the news. Every night at 6 o'clock, we welcomed you into our living rooms and listened as you explained the complex events of the day. Whether it was the space race for the Vietnam War, presidential elections, or peace treaties, you were there, telling us in simple yet riveting prose what was happening. You became a trusted member of my family and the families across America. For decades, you told us the way it is. But tonight, we honor you for fighting for the way it could be. We honor you for lending your voice to the cause of human rights around the world and for your lifelong commitment to international human rights law. From your reporting on the Nuremberg trials to your work with the WFA campaign to end genocide, you have stirred our consciences and challenged all of us to live closer to the words of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. So thank you, Walter. Thank you for inspiring all of us to build a more peaceful and just world. We are still listening to your every word. And with your continuing leadership, we can sail across these unnavigated seas into the 21st century. And there's no better captain I can imagine than you. Thank you.
Well, that's astonishing, isn't it? That Walter Cronkite said he'd rather be on the side of Satan. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. That clip is available also on YouTube in case this one was a little fuzzy. You can hear that there, but I'm going to play also. Now, here's George Herbert Walker Bush, George W.'s father, him talking about the New World Order.
Is that it also has Hillary Clinton in it, and amidst all the...
That's the wrong clip. Here we go.
Citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful.
Future generation, a New World Order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. And we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Unbelievable, right? And so no wonder the Bushes said they didn't vote for Donald Trump. I think Senior said he was going to vote for Hillary. Now, come on. You claim you were president of this country at one time, and you claim to be pro-life. And you're going to vote for somebody that is for partial birth abortion, where you can abort a baby, or really it's a baby, and the way that they have to kill this baby is so barbaric. The baby's 9 months old, and this is what before the baby is born, they're allowed to do these partial birth abortions, and it's hideous. And you're going to say that you're going to vote for this woman? Oh, dear. Anyway, the last clip I'm going to play here is a speech, and it's about 5 minutes long. It's from John F. Kennedy when he was president in the 1960s. Now, he was very, very popular president, extremely charismatic. He was a great speaker, excellent speaker, and of course we didn't know at the time that he was a highly immoral man. The press kept it quiet, but as a president, he was a pretty good president, and he was assassinated, which was horrible. It was one of the most horrible things that happened in our history right before our eyes. But he gave a speech on secret societies and freedom of the press, and it's a very eye-opening speech. It's also available on YouTube. You could see it. He was giving it at a press club, and he was giving it to the press. But you'll hear him here. You hear what he was a very eloquent speaker, and he sounded like, usually when you heard him speak, it sounded like it was coming from his heart. So here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
It's quite remarkable, isn't it, really? And we need a free press. We need real journalism. We don't need the talking heads we see that they read scripts and they're told what to say. It was interesting that I heard this morning that Thomas Nelson Publishers, remember Thomas Nelson Publishers? At one time it was a very good Bible publishing company. Well, it's now owned by Rupert Murdoch, the guy that owns Fox News. And also, he's been buying publishing companies. He bought a publishing company. I'm not sure if he still owns it. I think he bought Zondervan. He also bought the rights, I think it was the rights to the Satanic Bible. His publishing company was actually publishing it. And he also publishes a newspaper and I'm not sure if he still does, but it was called the Sun newspaper in England. And one of the things about the Sun newspaper was it had a page 3, and on page 3 there was usually a naked woman. And this I think they have since taken that out of the paper, but that's the way it was for many, many years. And so it's kind of, he's kind of a, you know, strange bedfellows when a person that owned the rights to the Satanic Bible and published it also owns the so-called Christian publishing companies, which are no longer owned by Christians. So we have to be careful of our own press, but thank God that we have the internet right now and we still have a way to get the truth out without being censored. We consider ourselves reporters of the news. I try to investigate and I try to offer my commentary with study and checking out the sources. I try to be very, very careful about giving out information if I haven't checked it out first and verified it. Because like I said, I had seen some things on the internet for quite a few months about this in Hillary Clinton's involvement in witchcraft. And I didn't have any evidence to back it up. But then again, when this email came out from WikiLeaks about her former campaign manager and very close associate, John Podesta, being involved in these occult activities, then it only made it very, very clear. Also, you can see one of the things that she does, too, is she has this saying where she talks about, let's not hate and let's love. And yet her campaign was the one that was paying people $1,500 to go into Trump rallies and incite violence. And people were hurt. People were hurt. But yet they're trying to paint this picture that we're the good ones and we don't do anything wrong. But they have incited hatred and incited riots. And that's hardly being the party of love and unity. It is just ridiculous. And then they have this concert with Beyonce and Jay-Z, and they're both in the occult. They use occult hand signals and occult images in their videos. And they talked about, they had some singer you know, if you can stomach going on and listening to the opening and this concert that they gave for Hillary Clinton, which she was present at, and they're talking about performing these immoral acts on women, and they're calling women foul names. And this is the concert, and you're running for president, and you're going to allow someone to sing like that at your campaign event. And then she comes on and she says, oh, she's praising them. Now, that was really weird. That was really weird. About, they put out all the information on Donald Trump's past, and yet they have this concert the other night. And like I said, if you can stomach it, you can go and hear what these people were singing about. It was really awful. I couldn't believe I was hearing what I was hearing. So there's a battle for people's minds. And, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and Jesus told us not to put our faith and trust in man. And but we do have a country that has a president. That's the way the country that we live in, that's the way it is. We have someone that will be the president, and we have supposedly, like I said, a Justice Department and a Supreme Court, and we have a Senate, and we have a House of Representatives, and these are the lawmakers. These are the people that represent us in this form of government. Of course, we know God has his own government, and his government is the government of peace and righteousness, but we hope and we pray for a good outcome. We'll see what happens. We just don't know what's going to happen in the next 48 hours. Anything could happen, let me tell you, because remember that election between Bush and Gore, and Gore wouldn't concede, and then they went on and on counting votes, recounting votes, and going to court, and it was a mess. And so anything could happen here. And there's also, like I said, telling illegal people to vote, and then dead people voting. And there is a lot of voting fraud. There really is. So it's going to be interesting. I think we better strap on our seatbelts, as they say, and get ready for a wild ride over the next 48 hours. But God bless you, and thank you for tuning in, everybody. Let's pray that God's will be done for our country, and don't forget, though, the most important thing today is Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life. Have you made Jesus your Lord and asked him to forgive you of your sins? Ask Jesus to come into your life today. Jesus said you must be born again, born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins today. And like the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said he's coming again to set up his kingdom on earth. Hallelujah. So we have a Savior. And God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.